Can we go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 14? John 14. We'll begin in verse 6. John 14. When you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand if you're able, the honor of the reading of God's holy Word. John 14, beginning in verse 6. Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus says to him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how do you say then, show us the Father? Do you believe not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. The Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, show us Jesus. Father, not as we imagine him to be, but as he truly is. Thank you for what Ian shared this morning, Father, and just help us to lay aside our preconceived notions. Father, and come to your word to find Jesus. Father, to know the one true Savior of mankind, Jesus Christ. Father, as we look at these things, give us an understanding. May your Spirit apply them to our hearts. And Father, for those that are not following the Savior, we had asked that your Holy Spirit would draw them even now to salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Many of y'all know my brother-in-law, Josiah, and you probably met his wife, Julie. What you may not know is that Julie has a twin sister. And back when, and they look very much so alike. And several years ago, Josiah was at his in-law's house, and they were watching a movie, so the lights were off, and y'all know exactly where this is going. And so he got up and went into the bathroom, got something to eat, was talking, whatever, and he came back in and then sat down on the couch next to Julie and put his arm around her, and I think he gave her a kiss on the cheek, thinking it was Julie, only to find out it was not Julie. It was her twin sister, Elaine. Which goes to show you, no matter how sincere you may be, if you're wrong, it does not matter how sincere you were. No matter how much love and affection you pour out on your wife, if it's not your wife, it only gets you in trouble. If you look in John 14, in the passage that we read, it doesn't make much sense. Jesus says, I am the only way to the Father. Now let's talk about the Trinity for a minute. How do those two things go together? How do you go from Jesus being the only way to I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How do these things go together? Well, let's look at the passage of Scripture. Then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to show you how all this comes together and show you why this is a very important passage of Scripture for today and the times in which we live. First, in verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. And if there's any question, he says, no man comes to the Father but by me. There is only one way to be right with God, and that is through the person and work of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be right with God. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to have sins forgiven. There is no other way to have peace with God. There is no other way to escape the wrath of God for your sins. There is no way to escape his justice and judgment. There is no way except the person Jesus Christ. That is the only way. He then goes on and said, if you'd known me, if you knew who I was, then you would know my Father. Keep reading. From henceforth you know him, know the Father, and you have, not says will, it says have seen him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw God, I'd think I'd remember that. Wouldn't you? So, Philip says, okay, Jesus, I think you're kind of getting the wrong grammar here. I know you said we have seen him, but we want to see him. Maybe you meant we will see him. Jesus, if you just show us God, that's all we want. And by the way, isn't that not true, what Christians want? Isn't that what we talked about last week? We just want to see God. We just want to be with him. You know, I've often prayed, and maybe I'm crazy in praying this, but Lord, if you just show me, I'd die happy. You know, no man can see God's face and live. I'd gladly die that way, just to see God. Philip says, if you just show us God the Father, that is all we need. And Jesus, as opposed to getting on to Philip for his great spiritual statement here, gets on to him, showing him how unspiritual he really is. And he says, have I been so long with you and you don't even know who I am, Philip? Philip, how long have we been together? How much time have we spent together? And you don't even know who I am? Notice what he says next. He that has seen me has seen the Father. So when he says, you have seen the Father, he's referring to himself. Now, if you look in this passage of Scripture, you can see the mystery of the Trinity very clearly taught. Jesus very clearly indicates that there is himself and the Father. And he also very clearly indicates that these two separate and distinct beings are one, so much so that to see the Son is to see the Father. This is the mystery of the Trinity, that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God is one. There is one God. Now, people say, I don't understand that, and that's a good thing. Okay, there's a philosophical statement you need to remember, and that is that the lesser is always understood of the greater. Okay, I like to make things with my hands. I built a rifle a couple weeks ago. Okay, I understand that rifle. I understand all the pieces and how they go together and how it all works. That rifle doesn't even know my name. I am the creator of that rifle, and that rifle is the created, does not understand me. You may understand some things about your dog, and your dog may be one of the, you know, the little people. Some people think their dog's that way, but they don't understand. I know that may be a little hard, but they don't understand everything about you. They may be able to detect some of your emotions and some of those things, and they may be helpful for you, but they do not even know your name. Okay? They cannot understand you. They don't understand why you go to the bathroom and take showers and stuff like that. They don't understand that. How can you as a creature understand God? You can't. You just accept him for who he is and who he has revealed himself to be. You see, this is one of the to me, a great proof of the divine nature of the Word of God. No man would invent something he couldn't understand. If I was going to make a God, he would look a lot like me, and he'd have the same flaws as me, and do all the things I like. I mean, isn't that the way all the religions of all history? Go study Greek mythology. All their gods were just like them. Yet Christianity presents a God that is not like us. That yes, we bear his image, but even in bearing his image, we still don't understand how God is three, yet God is one. That is who he is. And that is something Jesus very clearly teaches here. Keep reading. Verse 10, all right, he says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say then, show us the Father? Do you not believe, verse 10, I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Jesus is very clear in his teaching here concerning his divine nature, that you see him as to see the Father, that he and the Father are separate beings, yet they are one being, very clearly teaches here the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. Now you say, why does that matter? Why would Jesus go from no man comes to the Father but by me to, yeah, let me talk about the Trinity for a little bit? Well, I want you to keep your finger here. We're going to come back here. We're going to conclude here. But I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And then verse 3. Paul here is speaking to the Corinthian church. He's talking about how he wants them to follow Jesus Christ and follow him closely and to not fall away, and how he cares so much for them. And so he says in verse 3, but I fear. There is something that scares Paul concerning the Corinthian church. There is something that he is worried about and concerned about. What is it? Lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, we're going to begin at the simplicity in Christ and work our way back to the verse. The simplicity that's in Christ. Jesus said, unless you become converted as little children, you can no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. We talk about childlike faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple, the smallest child can understand it. Okay? From the Reformation, we know that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the gospel. You cannot get any simpler than that. Grace alone, there's not something you have to do. Jesus did everything. Faith alone, in Christ alone. You just trust Jesus Christ and his finished work. That's simple. And yet what Paul is afraid of is that the serpent, that Satan, is going to turn the church away from the gospel. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But notice how he's going to do it. Subtly. And notice it says corrupted. What does it mean to be subtle? Well, it's something that's there, but it's intentionally designed to be there and you not notice it. Okay? That's subtle. Okay? Women try this with their makeup. They want it to look natural. Okay? They want it to be subtle, where this is the natural tone of my skin. And so you want to blend in where people cannot tell. Okay? This is a subtle touch. And when you paint, sometimes you put a subtle touch of yellow to make the room brighter. You don't want people to walk and go, wow, this room's yellow. You just want it to be subtle. It's kind of hidden in there. You can't really see it. You can't really tell. And he says, that's the way Eve was deceived. Satan didn't walk up and say, hey, Eve, you're going to burn in hell forever? He didn't say, hey, you're going to watch your kids kill each other? You want pain, suffering, death, disease? You want to watch your favorite dogs kill each other? And your favorite little lamb get torn to pieces by your favorite lion? Then do what I'm asking you to do right now. He doesn't come that way. No, he comes, hey, Eve, this fruit looks so delicious. You want to be wise, don't you? You want to know good and evil? God called this the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't you want to know good and evil? Don't you want to be like God? God's just holding you back from your full potential. It was subtle. It was a subtle deception. Now, I want you to notice verse 4. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus. Notice that what he's worried about is not someone coming into church and saying, hey guys, let's murder our children and sacrifice them to Satan next week. He's not worried about that. What he's worried about is saying, why don't y'all follow Jesus? And the Jesus that they're speaking of is not the Jesus of Scripture. You do realize, and I'm going to be kind of silly but make a point. You realize that the world is full of Jesuses. Go down to Mexico, there's a bunch of Jesus. Okay, that's Jesus. You follow Jesus and you'll find his hacienda. You won't find heaven. Okay, and I'm being silly to make a point. There are many Jesuses out there. And you can follow Jesus straight to hell if you're not following Jesus the Christ. This is why Matthew 7 makes so much sense. Lord, Lord. Now say, depart from me. I never, what? Knew you. What does he mean by that? You had a relationship with the wrong Jesus. You thought that was Julie, but it was Elaine. Get away from me, buddy. We ain't married. But it looks like, and it sounds like. Any of y'all have ever seen twins? What is the difference? It's subtle, isn't it? It's a subtle difference. I got twin cousins. One of them has hair that's a little bit curlier than the other one. And it's really hard to tell. Subtle differences in the way they talk. One of them's right-handed, one of them's left-handed. I can't remember which one's which. So it doesn't help me out much. But see, there's a subtle difference. And so what he says is, his concern is that people are going to come saying, I'm a follower of Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Believe Jesus. Give Jesus your life. Trust in Jesus. Just the Jesus they're preaching isn't the Jesus of Scripture. That's what he's worried about. Now keep reading. Skip down to verse 12. For such are false apostles. No, it doesn't say true demon worshipers. It says false apostles. Keep reading. Deceitful workers. They're not going to tell you the truth. They're trying to deceive you. It's why when people do advertising, they Photoshop the models and they Photoshop everything. Why? Because they're trying to trick you. That's why the food display, that's plastic. It's not real. That's not what the hamburgers really look like. They're trying to deceive you into buying something. Okay, if the devil's going to trick you, he's not going to come with hellfire. He's going to come with pearly gates. He's not going to come with a pitchfork. He's going to come with his Bible in hand. By the way, how did he tempt Jesus Christ? He quoted Scripture. Keep reading. Deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. False teachers, wolves, come in sheep's clothing. They never come dressed like wolves. Which means some of the most prominent false teachers of our day will be preachers, evangelists, PhDs from seminaries, 20 years in the ministry, Southern Baptist preachers, best-selling authors in the Christian magazines and Christian bookstores. My goodness, if you wanted to destroy Christians, the greatest way to destroy them is join them. It's the enemy within. It's the Trojan horse. People in our country are so concerned about Syrian refugees being the Trojan horse. The Trojan horse in the church is Christian so-called people. It's not Muslims. It's Christian preachers and authors. They're on the radio. They're in the Christian section at the bookstore. The Christian bookstore is filled with them. They can't be wolves. They follow Jesus. Which Jesus? Keep reading. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. We're so accustomed to the kids' cartoons where the angel's on one shoulder and he's got the halo and the wings and the white, and then the devil's on the other shoulder and he's all mean, scowl, and got horns and a tail and a pitchfork and he's red. That's not the way the devil comes. That's not the way the devil comes. The devil comes in beauty, quoting Scripture, talking about honesty, telling the truth. You know, the greatest liar is the one who tells the most truth and sprinkles the lie in it. They hook you with the truth, but then they twist it at the end to lead you astray. Keep reading. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers, whose ministers? Satan ministers, be transformed as what? The ministers of righteousness. The false teachers of our day are the people who proclaim to follow Jesus the closest. But keep reading, whose ends will be according to their works. But you'll know them by their fruit. Sheep don't growl and bite. It may look like a sheep, but if it's chewing on your leg, it's not a sheep. But Jesus told us that wolves come in sheep's clothing. Yet we seem to have completely ignored 2 Corinthians 11, completely ignored Jesus' teaching on wolves. And so what we say, all that glistens must be gold. No, there is such a thing as fool's gold. Everyone who says, believe in Jesus and preaches a great sermon must be a sheep. You realize the devil's got better theology than any of us. And he's still a devil. You will know them by their fruits. Please understand, just because someone tells you to follow Jesus means nothing. Have you ever noticed that every cult, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, they all follow Jesus? Did you know that Muslims claim to follow Jesus? He's a great prophet. Did you know Hare Krishnas claim to follow Jesus? He's a great guru. I had a Hare Krishna at my house a while back, and I'm sharing the gospel with him. And he said, no, I believe in Jesus. He believes in Jesus. I follow Jesus. He's one of the greatest gurus of all time. And he follows Jesus. Don't you understand? The greatest way to destroy Christianity is not to replace Jesus with Satan, but is to replace Jesus with a cheap, false imitation. And then people can sincerely, just like my brother-in-law, show affection to their bride. Isn't that what a good husband's supposed to do? If you get the wrong woman, it doesn't matter. If you follow the wrong Jesus, it doesn't matter how closely you follow Jesus. So what does Jesus do when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? He tells the disciples, oh yeah, and this is who I really, truly am. Why? Because doesn't he tell them many will come saying, I am Christ, I am Christ, I am Christ, I am Christ? Doesn't John tell us in 1 John that there are many antichrists already in the world? Please understand, what has destroyed Christianity in this country is people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn back to John 14. I want you to open your bulletin. I put something in the bulletin. I want to show you something. There's a little insert in the bulletin, a little half page. I want to show you something that I think will help you understand what has happened for those of you who are older in your lifetime. I know for myself, I've seen it in my own lifetime. I want you to understand the subtlety and the deception that has taken place in our country. If you study the history of Christianity, you will know that there is a heresy that really became prominent at the beginning of the 1900s, and that is the heresy of neo-orthodoxy. Or a new way of being right theologically. Neo-Orthodoxy. Neo-Orthodoxy overtook virtually every single Protestant denomination, the Presbyterians, the United Methodists, and the Southern Baptist Convention. It was heresy. So subtle that even though I have studied this for years, and I'm going to point it out to you this morning, I still have a hard time seeing it even though I know it's there. And Neo-Orthodoxy destroyed United Methodist Church. It destroyed the Presbyterian denomination. So they've since split off, and they have some good Presbyterian denominations that have split off from it. But the main Presbyterian denominations have gone the same way as the United Methodist Church. It destroyed the Episcopal Church. And it destroyed the Southern Baptist Convention as well. You want to know why we live in a post-Christian culture? You want to know why so many of your children and grandchildren, friends and neighbors who were in church are no longer in church? You want to know why churches are now ordaining homosexuals as ministers? You want to know why churches have begun to embrace sexual perversion? Why they celebrate abortion? You want to know why those things took place? It goes back to Neo-Orthodoxy. Now, it goes further back than Neo-Orthodoxy. But for this morning, I just want to go back to Neo-Orthodoxy. Neo-Orthodoxy was so prevalent in our denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, that they actually put it in their doctrinal statement in 1962. And that is why, as a church, we do not hold to the 1963 Baptist Faith and Message. And this is why. You've heard people, at times we've separated with Baptist entities that will not take a stand on the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. You say, I don't understand. It's just a couple words. I want you to understand, words matter. So I want to show you from our own denomination how neo-orthodoxy crept in. And you're going to see it. If you got your eyes open, you will see it. And the falling away of the church, being generally speaking, especially in our country. Notice what it says, the scriptures. This is from the 1963, this was approved in 1962. By the Southern Baptist Convention, by the churches of the Southern Baptist Convention. The Holy Bible was written by man, divinely inspired, and is the record of God's revelation of himself to man. What's wrong with that? There's one, two little words in there, one very important word that's underlined. It is the record. Okay? It is not the revelation, it is the record. Now, skip to the end. And this is where you'll see neo-orthodoxy creep in. The criterion by which the Bible is to be interpreted is Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you, when you read that, said, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? We would all agree with that. I mean, wouldn't we agree that if you want to understand a passage of Scripture, go see how Jesus expounded the passage of Scripture and you'll understand it? Don't you want to understand Old Testament prophecies? You know, like Isaiah 9, what we read this morning. Don't you go look at Jesus and see how Jesus is the fulfillment of unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, the government should be upon his shoulder. Don't we understand Isaiah 9 in light of Jesus Christ? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Here's what's wrong with that. Which Jesus? Which Jesus? It's not defined. How many of you have ever, I'm going to start with politics, and I'm going to go all the way down. How many of you have ever seen politicians from opposite sides of the aisle on the same issue, both claim Jesus approves of their legislation? How many of you have ever seen that? Jesus wants everybody to have affordable health insurance. People said that. No, Jesus wants people to work hard so they can pay for their health insurance. Didn't they not say that? Don't Democrats, Republicans, and Libertarians all claim that Jesus approves of their form of government and their way they want to do things? They all claim Jesus. How many of y'all ever heard? A loving Jesus would never disapprove of homosexuality. How many of you ever heard? A loving Jesus would not say that only men can serve in the ministry as pastors and elders. A loving Jesus would let women serve as elders too. How many of you ever heard that? A loving Jesus would never send anyone to hell. A loving Jesus would never, ever speak out against divorce and remarriage. A loving Jesus would never... I've had people sit in my office and tell me things like this. I know that's what the Bible says, but I just know that Jesus is okay with this. I talked with somebody yesterday. So listen to what the Scripture says. I know, but I just don't feel that's what Jesus wants me to do. No, Jesus told you what to do and wrote it down. But you know what it is? It's neo-orthodoxy. The way I interpret Scripture is through what I believe Jesus would have said. And you know what people who are neo-orthodox actually do? They will use Jesus to prove that what Jesus said in the Bible is not actually what Jesus said. It's a record. So you say... Well, just take any issue. There's nothing wrong with pornography. Jesus wouldn't have a problem with that. Well, Jesus said if someone looks at a woman with lust, no, Jesus would never have said that. And you know what they do? They move away from it. Neo-orthodoxy brought in the idea that the Scripture is not infallible. It's just a record. And that what we read, it's just a record. There could be a far greater record of God's will for us. And I know because the Spirit inside me told me. Who are you to challenge the Spirit of God within me with something, just some record of, or its recording? And you can see this. Why do denominations move away what the Word of God says about marriage, what the Word of God says about divorce, what the Word of God says about sex, what the Word of God says about children, what the Word of God says about the family, what it says about men, what it says about women. The only way you can get there is if you can find a way to trump Scripture and ignore it. And the way you do it? Jesus. Jesus wouldn't have a problem with this. There's no way the Jesus I love would have ever said that you couldn't do that. Do you see how it opened the door? And by the way, if you look at every denomination that has gone south, they all did it in the name of Jesus. And you read it again and you go, but are you sure? It's subtle. By design. It's deceitful. By design. If the devil can lead you to hell following Jesus, he'll lead you to hell following Jesus. If he can lead you away from the gospel, he'll lead you away from the gospel. My goodness, don't Mormons believe in Jesus? No, it's not the Jesus we believe in. They deny the Trinity. Don't Jehovah's Witnesses believe in Jesus? No, it's not the Jesus we believe in because they deny the Trinity. Doesn't T.D. Jakes preach the gospel? Oh no, he denies the Trinity too. It's another Jesus. It's another person. It's not the Jesus of Scripture. This is why doctrine matters. If you ask me, what does your wife look like? Well, she's between 4'6 and 6'2. And her skin's kind of dark to kind of pale. She's got eyes and she's got hair. Why would a man say that? So that he can mess around with any woman he wants to and no one can say that's not your wife. The only person that wants to be clear and precise. Well, why is it that when people want to pervert things, they flourish on refusing to be precise? Honest people want to be precise in their language. Deceitful people don't. Now, this is why we hold to the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. Notice the first sentence, the Bible was written by men divinely inspired and is God's revelation. It's not one of the records. It's not possibly a recording, and maybe a recording messed up. Notice the sentence that's underlined. Therefore, all Scripture is totally true and trustworthy. You notice that's not in the 63. Why? Because if my Jesus doesn't throw people into hell, then I can't trust when the Scripture talks about Jesus talking about throwing people into hell. Keep reading. Notice the last sentence. All Scripture is a testimony to Christ. Right? So we interpret Scripture through Christ. But which Christ? The one who is himself the focus of divine revelation. What is the divine revelation? The Word of God. You see, this is where the Reformers had it right. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, as revealed in Scripture alone. How do you know that you are following the right Jesus? Because you are following the Jesus of Scripture. You can follow Jesus, and put that in quotes, straight to hell, if you're following another Jesus. People can come and preach another Jesus. This happens all the time. I saw an article, and please don't, this is not about politics, but I saw an article, and this just showed me how far it has gone. And it was about the inauguration this week. And again, I'm not talking about politics. But this way said, this is going to be the most Christian inauguration ever. There's going to be six people praying. Christian inauguration. One's a Catholic, one's a rabbi, and two are prosperity gospel preachers who preach heresy. That is not Christian. I hate to break it to you. That is people proclaiming another Jesus. And one who denies him outright. And won't even believe in any Jesus. Where do we get the idea that that's Christian? Because you have been taught another Jesus, not the Jesus of Scripture. You've been taught a Jesus in Sunday school your whole life growing up. You've been taught a Jesus from the pulpit, a Jesus from the preacher, a Jesus from the evangelist, a Jesus from everyone. And the loving Jesus and the just Jesus and the righteous Jesus that you believe in doesn't exist. The Jesus of Mormonism is a hoax. The Jesus of Islam never existed. The Jesus that the Hare Krishnas believe is a guru doesn't exist. There's only one Jesus. He's the second member of the Trinity. He's the eternal Son of God who has always existed, who became flesh in the womb of a virgin, was born and lived a sinless life, and died on the cross, bearing the wrath of God for our sins, was buried and physically rose again from the dead, and has ascended to God's right hand, and is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, soon returning for His bride. That is the only Jesus that matters. Everything else is a lie. And you can believe in whatever Jesus you want to, and it does you no good. This is why Paul commended the Bereans, because they didn't listen to him. They sought the Scriptures to see if these things were so. Somebody tells you Jesus wouldn't do something. Somebody told me one time, it may have been Bob, that he didn't like the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" Or maybe it was Keith. Better question is, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? Because you know what people will do? It's nothing more than Eastern mysticism. It's nothing more than New Age. Well, I know that the Bible says, I know that Jesus, but I just don't believe that's what Jesus wants me to do. You're following another Jesus. And you're using your supposed Jesus to actually ignore the real one. So the question today is not, do you believe in Jesus and are you following Jesus? Everybody in the South believes in Jesus, including Hindus. Everybody believes in Jesus and everybody's following Jesus. Just go ask a Hare Krishna if they follow Jesus. Yeah, he's a great guru. The question is, which Jesus are you following and which Jesus do you believe in? That is the question. Do you believe that Jesus, to see Him is to see the Father, and that He and the Father are one, and yet He is God the Son and submits Himself to the Father? Do you believe that to be true? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Trinity? Okay, many prominent Christian songwriters don't believe in the Trinity. Many prominent authors in Christian books, T.D. Jakes, one of the most prominent authors, and Bishop T.D. Jakes, he does not believe in the Trinity. He preaches another Jesus. The prosperity gospels, preachers, they don't preach a gospel. That's not a gospel. They don't preach the Jesus of Scripture. So you say you believe in Jesus. Okay, which one? Which one? There are many, you know. You're following Jesus. Which one? That's why the conclusion in verse 11, when he talks about him being the only way, his conclusion is, believe me. He doesn't say believe in me. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe for the very work's sake. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you don't believe that, the Jesus you believe in is not going to save you. Just the truth from Jesus' own mouth. So the question comes today. Conclusion. Do you believe in Jesus as He has revealed Himself in Scripture? And are you following what He has revealed in Scripture? That is what salvation is. It is a new life that trusts, follows, and obeys the Jesus Christ of Scripture. The salvation that is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, the Jesus Christ of Scripture. Would you please be on the lookout, if you're a follower of Christ, for those who preach another Jesus? It's subtle. Oh, their books are so good. And their worship services are so wonderful. And their sermons are so great. And it sounds so good. And everybody likes what they're saying. It's subtle. It's subtle. My goodness, do you think Jehovah Witnesses would get many followers if they knocked on the door and said, "Hey, we're here to lead you to hell"? No. And you think that a lying Southern Baptist wolf would get many followers by doing the same thing from the pulpit? Be a Berean. Don't believe a word I say. Read the Bible for yourself. Discover Jesus for yourself. Go home and read and see if the things I said this morning are so. Go home and study it for yourself. Don't be caught by a wolf in sheep's clothing. And lastly, I would ask you this. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you want your sins forgiven? Do you want a new life? Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. The eternal Son of God became man and died so that his people might know new life. Would you repent of your sins, believe in Christ, and be saved? And would you make sure that the Jesus you trust is not an angel of light deceiving you, but is the Jesus Christ himself?